Grant, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Geez, you do such a good job with that. I almost sound impressed by what we do over at that cancer rehab center.
I've read it enough. I know it off by heart now, so it's good. Hey, that's a pretty cool facility you guys got. I know families love it. People who have cancer keeps them active and doesn't give them a negative outlook, gives them more positive on how to deal with it and work forward. So I want to get to something today that I've seen a lot of. I've seen some friends have it, and I've always kind of been like, well, does it really work? Like, I see it. It's pretty obvious what it does, or maybe it isn't. So cupping. I've seen it. We've seen it in professional sports. Now you see the people that are doing their interviews and they've got all these suction cup marks on their arms and stuff. So give me the basic, what's the theory behind cupping? Let's start there.
Yeah, so a bit beyond, like, if there's, it comes from traditional Chinese medicine. To go into the actual theory of it, you have to understand that traditional Chinese medicine is based on a balance, and there's a huge realm of it that's based on energy flow in and out. So if you have too much energy, the goal is to remove energy from the system. And if there's not enough, it's to obviously put energy in. And that's the traditional way of looking at cupping. It's our way in traditional Chinese medicine of taking energy out of a system. But if you look at it from a Western perspective, what actually is happening when the cup is on the body and drawing the skin away from the body, it literally looks like that we're using suction. So either using a plunger to take air out or using heat to go into the cup and then attach to the body, it draws the tissue up into it. Basically, if you think about it, it's pulling that tissue up into the cup and away from it, what it was intact with. And so that will restore or take away restrictions that have formed either in the skin, the fat layer, or the fascia covering of the muscle. And the goal is to restore or to take away some of the restrictions that have formed there. And of course, when you see those kind of purple marks, you can imagine what's happened there is a massive amount of bruising, which is circulatory. So you get erythema, or you get basically an increase in circulation in the area. And therefore, the result is bring blood to the area and help with the tissue healing, if that's what you're trying to achieve, or relaxation if you're trying to achieve it, because you're stimulating mechanoreceptors, you're stimulating receptors in the skin that might influence muscle spasm or other things that might create restriction in that tissue.
So, you know, now this, obviously there's a lot of history to it. It comes to North America a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, later after being in China for a long time. So where, like, what type of injuries then should we use it on?
Right. So it's got to be considered part of a comprehensive treatment. If cupping is the only thing that somebody is doing, it's not likely to be that effective, to be blunt. The research really doesn't pan out. If you study it as a standalone treatment, there's not really any studies that show that there's any benefit whatsoever. However, if you're using it as part of a total comprehensive treatment program where somebody has a lot of restriction, or they're getting pain with that movement, and now because you've alleviated some of the pain or increased the circulation, you can get them moving, then of course you're going to have some benefits. So to answer your question, it can be used on anything from an acute injury to a chronic injury, from somebody who's got tightness in their tissue or pain. In traditional Chinese medicine, it's used for certain skin afflictions like herpes zoster, which is basically shingles. So there's a lot of different uses. It all depends on the context. And just like all the other treatments, using the right treatment for the right problem at the right time is ultimately essential.
Yeah, and that's the key. And so what about usage? Like, how many times should it be used? And I guess what's the risk of cupping? Where can it maybe not be beneficial?
Yeah, and so there are certain points in traditional Chinese medicine that you never apply a cup. Particularly over the center part of the lower back. In Chinese medicine, we believe, or the theory goes, that that's the source of our energy. And so obviously, if you use cupping in a way that takes away that energy, it's going to be a negative effect. From a Western perspective, the risks really apply around the use. So too much obviously can cause blisters. Left on for too long can disrupt the skin tissue, and you can end up with essentially pressure blisters, which then can become, you know, essentially infected, or there's things that can occur. So this treatment isn't entirely risk-free. But used properly, it's fairly benign. And it can actually feel quite good because having the cup on that area, pulling that tissue away, it does feel good, but so does a back rub. And so, as I always say, there's nothing wrong with something that feels good if it's used as part of the next step. So if you're using it to relieve pain so that you can then move somebody, or if you're using it to release or reduce inflammation so that they can get moving, or you can apply a different technique, then of course it makes sense. It all, again, depends on the situation.
Joined by Grant Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physio. Now, Grant, this might be a strange one. Would there be any connection to, like, cupping? Do people ever cup their foreheads to, people have pressure headaches? Does that ever work, or is that just a ridiculous thing? Because there's not much tissue there.
Yeah, and so wherever you have skin that can pull away, you could probably do it. You'd have to, in that area, the answer is I wouldn't use it in there. Yeah. But I do use cupping for headaches, particularly ones that are arising from the upper neck, for instance, or the lower neck. There's some really good points where you use cupping on the trapezius and even centrally right over the C71, that kind of prominent part of your back or your neck that sticks out when you put your hand behind your neck. There's really good points there that works. It can work really well for headaches, actually. Around the facial area, yes, the answer is it can be, and it has been used. Practically, there's so many other things, and that's something that we should talk about. There's other ways to address adhesions and fascial restrictions, like foam rolling or the technique that you probably are aware of that we use called Graston technique. And the reason we like Graston technique is we can actually get those restrictions and we can start to create that same healing environment in multiple planes. So instead of it just sitting there, we're actually moving the metal tool over the tissue in multiple planes, breaking down adhesions, not just in one plane, and that can make a difference as well. So it's a little bit more practical for us to use a treatment like that.
So now you mentioned the graft, and that's that kind of that little stick that you just roll up and down?
Yeah, no, the Graston technique is the use of basically metal tools we use, basically like we would use our hands to break down myofascial restriction. So there's different tools based on the tissue you're going over, depends on what I'm working on. So one almost looks like handlebars, another one kind of looks almost like a tongue depressor, just allows us to get into tissue and do frictions like what we used to use our hands for. It really frees up our hands, takes some of the work out of our hands, actually, and has a very positive benefit. A lot of research around that.
And does it go deeper? Is that the benefit?
Yeah, so there's a few benefits. One, we can work it in different planes of the tissue. It gets into different tissues. You can't put a cup on certain areas, whereas we can utilize Graston technique in that area. Some of the other benefits, of course, I talked about. We can work it in different areas. We can apply different depths. It's got a feedback mechanism. As we're working on tissue, you can imagine almost like a stethoscope, putting it over a person's heart. You can feel what you're getting from that heartbeat. Well, with the tool over the tissue, we can feel what's underneath the skin, whether it feels, kind of like crepitus, or I kind of use the term like Rice Krispies. That's not okay. It should feel really smooth to us. So the technique also provides us feedback as we're treating somebody, whereas with a cup, you put it on, you leave it, you walk away, there's no real feedback from it, except for what a patient tells you.
And so when you're cupping, like, do deep tissue knots, does that help for cupping, or would you have to go deeper to get it to effectively work?
So the answer is kind of complex. If you actually have trigger points, if those knots exist where essentially what you're getting is a high density of terminal nerve endings creating a restriction of the tissue at that area, and if we put a cup over it, you can stimulate receptors in the tissue that can inhibit that muscle spasm or that restriction that's there. So in a way, you can get there without having necessarily to be really deep into the tissue. So it depends on why you're using it and, again, where. So obviously putting a cup over a portion of the glute, a huge muscle where that knot is quite deep, you're probably not going to get the same effect. And so we'd be using different techniques depending on the body type or the body area we're working on.
And now we've got quite a few different texters asking this question. For TMJ, does cupping help?
So it's another great question. A lot of people who have TMD, temporal mandibular dysfunction, that's basically the jaw. So where your jaw meets, the joint is called the temporal mandibular joint. So it depends on what the problem is with the joint. If there's myospasm, if there's muscle spasm inhibiting or preventing the jaw from moving properly, then we can use that as part of the technique. We'd be treating a lot of the neck muscles, so yes, cupping can work for that. But it's part, again, it's part of a really much bigger picture when we're treating the jaw. The jaw is not a simple joint. A lot of things affect it. The mechanics, the actual movement of the joint, there's a little disc in there, and there's a ligament that can become a problem. If that ligament becomes too loose and the jaw is moving too much and it's hypermobile, then using cupping isn't going to be beneficial at all, because we actually have a joint that's moving too much, and our goal would be to not release the tissue, but to actually increase the strength around it. And so sometimes, not all, I guess the answer is that it's not always beneficial to get rid of muscle spasms. Sometimes it's playing a beneficial role.
Grant, great stuff, man. People can learn more. They go to leadingedgephysio.com. We always appreciate having you on. Enjoy the week.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks for playing a big part in getting the word out about all the things that we do.